We're going to have a short reading from the book of Esther, not the whole book. You've heard the whole story, but we're just going to focus in on one chapter of the book, and a couple of our girls' brigade are going to come and read that to us. This is the part where Mordecai is desperately worried about his family and the Jewish people and asks Esther to help him. Girls, I have two.
When Mordecai heard about all that had been done, he tore his clothes. Then he put on sackcloth, put ashes on his head, and went out into the city, crying loudly. But Mordecai went only as far as the king's gate. No one was allowed to enter the gate dressed in sackcloth. In every province where the king's command had come, there was much crying and sadness among the Jews. They were fasting and crying loudly. Many Jews were lying on the ground dressed in sackcloth with ashes on their head. Esther's slave women and eunuchs came to her and told her about Mordecai. This made Queen Esther very sad and upset. She sent clothes for Mordecai to put on it instead of the sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther told Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been chosen to serve her. She commanded him to find out what was bothering Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to where Mordecai was in the open place of the city in front of the king's gate. Then Mordecai told Hathach everything that had happened to him. Mordecai told him about the exact amount of money Haman had promised to put into the king's treasury for killing Jews. Mordecai also gave Hathach a copy of the king's command to kill the Jews. The command had been sent out all over the city of Susa. He wanted Hathach to show it to Esther and tell her everything, and she told him to encourage Esther to go to the king and beg him for mercy for Mordecai and her people.
Hathach went back and told Esther everything Mordecai had said. Then Esther told Hathach to say this to Mordecai. Mordecai, all the king's leaders and all the people of the king's province knows this. The king has one law for any man or woman who goes to the king without being called. That person must be put to death unless the king holds out his gold scepter to them. If the king does this, that person's life will be saved and have not been called to go to see the king for 30 days. Then Esther's message was given to Mordecai. When he got her message, Mordecai sent his answer back. Esther, don't think that just because you live in the king's palace, you will be the only Jew to escape. If you keep quiet now, help and freedom for the Jews will come from another place. But you and your father's family will all die. And who knows, maybe you've been chosen to be the queen for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this answer to Mordecai. Mordecai, go and get all the Jews in Susa together and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days and nights, and my women and I will servants will fast too. After we fast, I will go to the king. I know it's against the law to go if the king doesn't call me, but I'll do it anyway. If I die, I die. So Mordecai went away and did this everything that Esther told him to do.
Thank you, girls. So a little bit about the queen's bravery there and her courage. The thing is, it's a little bit strange to be talking about Queen Esther as God's hero, because an interesting fact, which I'd just like to start this talk with, is to say, if you didn't know already, that in the book of Esther in the Bible, there is absolutely no mention at all of God. If you look through the whole book, you will not find God's name mentioned once. In fact, it's the only book in the Bible that this is true about. God's name is not written in it at all, and there's 10 chapters, so that's quite a lot of writing. So God doesn't appear there at all, or does he? So Esther was a Jew, we know that, and her family was among the Jews that had been taken from their home country of Israel to live in the kingdom of Persia. And they lived among the Persians in the city of Susa, and they were didn't try and return to Jerusalem because they were comfortable, they'd settled. But we can see from this story that they were still different from the other people of Persia. They lived their life in a different way, they had different customs, traditions, and beliefs. So when the Persian king Xerxes honoured Haman and gave him the position of prime minister, Esther's adopted father, who was a Jew too, Mordecai, he refused to bow down to Haman. He wouldn't do it. And the reason that he gave was because he was a Jew. Because Jews followed the Ten Commandments, they believed that it wasn't right to bow down to anyone apart from God. And Mordecai stayed faithful to those beliefs, even when they were different to everyone else around him. He was the only one refusing to bow down. And this caused Haman to react with anger and to seek revenge. But Mordecai was willing to put himself in danger for these beliefs, and he would not back down. So we can see in the story that God was with him all the time. God kept him safe. And ultimately, Mordecai was the one who was honoured much above Haman. And that made me think, today in some countries in the world, it's still very risky to be a Christian. People who follow God have to do it secretly, or they put themselves at great risk when they meet together. But they have that strong belief that God's with them in every situation. And so they continue to meet and they continue to worship him even when they're in these dangerous situations. I wonder if we believe that ourselves. Do we believe that God is with us all the time? Do we believe that he will keep us safe when we trust him to? Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we're different to people around us. It might be the way we choose to behave or the way that we choose to not do things that other people around us are doing because we want to follow Jesus and be like him. Do we trust God in those situations that he will be with us and he will look after us? So Esther, in the meantime, had gone to live in the royal palace. And she had become the favourite of King Xerxes and all of his servants. And she was enjoying a really privileged position there. Maybe this is more for the ladies among us, but would you like to spend 12 months just receiving beauty treatments, being covered with oil and perfumes and makeup? Does that sound like a good thing? Jackie's nodding her head over here. Okay. A spa weekend that goes on for a whole year. How fabulous might that be? And the special food that Esther was given so that she was in prime health and just perfect. Sounds really good, just not having to cook the food yourself. Sounds wonderful to me. Her life sounds amazing. And it was about to get even better when the king decided that actually it was Esther who would become the next queen. So he placed a crown on her head and he held a huge banquet in her honour. Esther had a great future ahead of her. But she never forgot her background, that she was a Jew. And she never forgot her adopted father, Mordecai, and the life that he had given her. And she continued to follow the things that Mordecai had asked her to do. And one of those things was not to tell anyone in the palace that she was from a Jewish family. She was to keep that a secret for now. But Esther trusted Mordecai. She knew that he was a good man that God had put in her life to care for her and to guide her with good advice and direction. So that made me think. I wonder who we have in our lives like Mordecai. Who are the people who care for us, who want the very best for us, who give us good advice and clear directions to help us? It could be our mum or dad. It could be another close relative, someone in our family. It could be a good friend or a work colleague. It could be a teacher from school or one of our brigade leaders here at church. God has placed these people in our lives to help us and guide us. And it's even better if we know that they're following him as well, so they can help us to follow him. Then the next part of the story is when we hear that Haman's anger for Mordecai, the fact that Mordecai will not bow down to him, this anger is so great that he forms an evil plan to destroy not only Mordecai, but all the Jewish people that lived in every territory in the Persian kingdom. He had some anger issues, this man. He told the king that they didn't obey his laws. They were different to the other people of Persia. And the king was led along and he agreed to Haman's plan, and orders were sent out into every nation of Persia to destroy, kill, and wipe out all the Jewish people. Does this sound familiar to us as we look back on the history of the 20th century? Something that we might remember from recent history. But Mordecai found out about this plan, and so he told Esther about it. And he asked Esther to go to the king and to beg for mercy, to make an appeal to the king, and to try and stop the terrible orders from being carried out. And it was time now for Esther to reveal who she really was, that she was a Jew and that she had to stand up for her own people. And as we heard in our reading, initially Esther was a bit worried about this, because if she went to the king, she could put herself in danger of being put to death. We heard about the queens, didn't we, earlier on, who were beheaded for various reasons, for things that they did. It was dangerous to be a queen, and the king could easily have got rid of Esther if she had disobeyed his order. She knew that she'd need to be really brave to own up to who she was and to ask the king to reverse this law that he'd sealed and set in place. But Mordecai said something very clear to Esther. You heard it in the reading, and it's probably the most well-known verse from the book of Esther in the Bible, the verse that most people have probably heard. This is what Mordecai said. Should be up there, that's it. Who knows? It's possible that you became queen for a time just like this. Mordecai knew that God had a plan for Esther. He had given her a special position in the palace so that she could be the one to help save her people from the evil Haman. And Esther continued to listen to Mordecai, the trusted person in her life. She continued to do as he advised her. So she went to the king, and ultimately, at the end of the story, the Jews were saved. So that made me think, I wonder what God wants you to do for him. Has God given you a special place to be, maybe at work, at home, at school, in your community, for such a time as this? Could there be something that only you could do for God that is very special and important and just for you with your gifts and skills and ideas? And maybe you know what that thing is already, and maybe you're doing it already, but maybe you're still trying to find out what it is that God wants you to do as you listen to him. And maybe it's something that you'll continue to discover as you grow up and as you continue to follow him and learn more about him. But whatever it is, the rest of Esther's story is a real encouragement for us, that God will be with us in whatever we do and wherever we are. And he will place good people around us to guide, support, and encourage us when we need it the most. So for such a time as this, whatever time is for you this morning, whatever that thing is, remember that God is with you. Listen to him. Listen to the people that he's given you around you. Learn from them, and God will use you where you are for what he wants you to do. And that's what I think we can learn from Queen Esther this morning. You know that I like to give you something. It helps to just cement it all. It wakes you up. It helps you to think about what we've been talking about in this hot room this morning. And this is to help us to think about that. I'm going to give you all a crown. They're going to be passed around. You're going to have a little crown here. And I'd like you to take that crown, to take it and to think that God has given it to you, that you are special. And to think about what it is that God might be saying to you this morning. It might just be to remember today that God is always with you, and whatever you're going through, if it's a difficult time or a tough time or a happy time, God is with you in that, and he will be with you and bless you. It might be God is reminding you that you have some really good people around you that you need to be grateful for today. People who are there to support you and care for you, to love you, to guide you. And it might just be that the crown is a reminder of all those special people that you have in your life. Or it might be that God is asking you to do something for him, and he wants you to think about that this morning, reminding you that you are here for such a time as this. So Ali's just going to play for us, play some music. I don't want you to sing, but the crowns will come round. And as he's playing, just think, what is it that God is saying to you today? Is it just a reminder he's with you? Is it about those special people that he's given you to thank him and be grateful for them? Or is he asking you to do something special for him, for such a time as this. So take a crown, hold on to it, it's yours to take away, and have a think as the music's playing about what God is reminding you of this morning.